Hey, what's up? Welcome to the i2 podcast. So excited that you are here. Our passion, as always, is to see the influence God has given you lead to God-sized impact in the world around you. You are a game changer, and we hope that this podcast encourages you, inspires you, and maybe motivates and challenges you to use what God has given you to find ways to continue to pursue the passion, the vision that he's placed inside of you. As always, I'm your host, Josh, and I'm excited about the interview I get to have today. It's with a great friend of mine, Anthony Edwards. He's a father. He works for a company that is in the tech space. He's an amazing man. He's one of those guys, whenever I'm around him, I want to get better. I want to grow and be a better husband, be a better father, be a better friend. And he and a business partner of his started a company called FaithFit. Powerful, fun startup that's been going now maybe for a couple of years. And so he's going to talk about his journey in starting FaithFit, where FaithFit is today, how you can get connected to FaithFit, and just his journey of how God started to ignite this passion in him to really pursue the vision and calling that God had put on his heart. So excited for this interview, excited for you to hear this interview, and look forward to just how it will encourage you today, but then also as we move forward to pursue what God has placed in your heart. Check out this interview with Anthony Edwards. Here with my main man, good friend of mine, Anthony Edwards. Anthony, what's up, my brother? Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Man, I'm just honored to be here with you and, you know, to call you a friend. Honestly, I was thinking about this podcast and our friendship, and I was like, man, I'm so grateful for Josh. And I started to think about a moment where my wife was in the hospital and this brother showed up with a whole chicken. Just tell me that he loves me and he's thinking about us and keep my family fed. So I just love you, man. And I'm grateful to chat with you today. So yeah, grateful to call you my friend.
Love you, bro. I'm thinking, man, if I'm at home by myself and my wife's in the hospital, what would I be eating? A rotisserie chicken that's already cooked. And so I was just, you know, trying to give you what I would want for myself. But no, I love that we get to talk, because even when I think about this podcast, you are the picture of the person who ultimately, in my mind, is using your influence to impact the world. And you are leveraging everything God has given you and with your family and your life. And you're so intentional about how you live. And I mean, you're the game changer, bro. And I know you'd never say that about yourself. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to receive that, but you are the ultimate picture. And so I'm excited to just dive into your story, because obviously you didn't end up where you are today overnight and after one decision or one conversation. And so I want to, you know, just start kind of at the beginning. And both of us live in Omaha, Nebraska today, but that's not where your roots are from. And so, you know, just talk about just kind of where you're from. And just the journey of your life really before Christ and where your life was kind of headed.
Yeah. Omaha is definitely not home. You know, I moved here about 6 years ago. I'm from the East Coast originally. And so I was actually born in Connecticut and, you know, and born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and beautiful upbringing, and grew up in the AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal, the first Black church in the U.S. And, you know, an incredible expression of the church. But what I didn't really get personally was an understanding of a relationship with God. Mm. I got a lot of understanding of how to do church. I missed this idea of who I am in him and what kind of relationship he wants to have with me. And so anyway, grew up in the church and, you know, my identity was really caught up in a lot of things that the world said I should be having as my identity. Sports and, you know, making sure I did well in school. That's how I got love. That's how I got my identity. And it was about eighth or ninth grade. I had reconstructive surgery on both of my ankles. Wow. And really had a lot of things that I thought were my identity ripped away from me. And so through that point in life, was able to actually come back and be able to play football again and play collegiately at a small school. And unfortunately, I saw it as a chance to get my identity back. And, right. You know, I'm at a small school starting as a freshman and playing running back. And the world was quick to tell me the things that I should be doing as I applied that identity as a, you know, collegiate athlete to myself. And, you know, I'm grateful for the prayers of my parents and having, you know, the faith instilled in me at an early age. But even at that point through college and, you know, doing things like the partying and the drinking and the girls, and, you know, I wasn't strong enough in my own self to pull myself away from those things.
Yeah.
It took a moment where I was after college working in the NFL with NFL teams and kind of furthering the game of football internationally, domestically, where I found myself in a situation where I basically paid for an abortion. And God was like, he had me in Indianapolis at the time. And God was like, this is where it's just me and you. And we're going to really have this conversation about who you are. And it was at that point I started to understand who I was in Christ.
Wow.
Started to understand Ephesians 1. That I'm forgiven, loved, redeemed, adopted, all because I'm his child, not because I've done anything to earn them. And so replacing old identities with new identities and beginning to understand what's required of me out of that identity.
Right.
And that was a major life transformation for me, which required me to move away from all that I knew in the Midwest at the time in Indianapolis and have God kind of corner me and take the gloves off, and we kind of wrestled and came out of that with a new perspective of, you know, who I am. And everything else you described about me stems from those moments where it, you know, a recalibration of my identity.
Yeah.
So that I could then go and do life with him. That is the intersection where you got a hold of my life.
Come on, man. So powerful. I mean, listening to your story, a couple things jump out. And number one, I didn't know you had broke both of your ankles at a young age and had to have reconstructive surgery on that. And I love what you said, though, because you were able to basically recover from that and continue to chase what you thought was most important. And, you know, sometimes for many of us, I think it's when we're at our lowest, God uses it to get our attention. He seems closest and then can kind of start to reform our identity. But also, which I can relate in some ways, when I got hurt playing basketball, you know, you try to pick up where you left off and you try to, your dreams are still in sight. And so you're chasing those dreams, you're going after those dreams. And it wasn't until you hit a speed bump again, you hit a roadblock, you hit kind of a low point in life and pay for basically an abortion to happen, that God really uses that again in your life. And it's just amazing how over and over, a lot of times the most painful parts of our story are the most pivotal. And the pain actually causes us to pivot and to re-strategize, refocus, and God uses that to get our attention. And where he starts, which again, this honestly, bro, this is something I'm still always learning, because I'm such a guy who wants to accomplish things and get things done and do great things for God. But the pivot isn't in what we're doing, but it's in who we're becoming. And it starts with identity and becoming a son, becoming somebody who God loves and who God created and who God has a plan for our lives. And so that identity portion and who I am is really the foundation and the cornerstone for everything that we do and everything that you've done in your life. Articulated that so well.
No, I appreciate that. And I love what you said, because that becoming is designed, we're designed to do that with him.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as achievement minded brothers, like, it's easy to feel like we get the plans from God and then we go. And he's like, right. No, I'm the plan and I'm going with you.
Yep.
And, you know, just not getting it twisted and thinking that we're just going to get our instructions and then sprint ahead of God. He's like, no, we're going to do all of this together. We're going to become together. And so I love that word. I love that picture, because it's just, that's the Father's heart. You and I have kids, right? And what we're doing as we're raising them right now is doing this with them. We want desperately for them to know that we are with them. And so, it's just such a picture of God's heart and what he desires for us to just be, continue to become.
And I think, I would just say this. I think you live that out as much as anybody I know. And whenever we're together, I'm reminded to focus on the who, not the what. Like, and you challenge me in that. You're like, hold up. I don't care about what you're doing. Like, I care about who you're becoming. And it's such a good reminder, because I'm just like, man, forget that. I just want to go do something. Like, let me just go accomplish something, get something done. And it's like, no, it's who. And I think that's where it's important too for me and just for probably others who are listening, the who and our identity, it's not just a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's not just, man, God gets our heart and our attention, and then now we're focused on him, and then we can go run and do what we're called to do. It's this constant reminder of, I think, God always saying, hold up, Josh, before you do this, I want to change who you're becoming. Mm-hmm. And again, he uses painful situations or things that are uncomfortable to cause me to turn back, repivot, to make sure that my focus is on who I'm becoming before, you know, what I want to do. So I love how you've kind of, your story begins with that. And so God's kind of stripping away those things. You know, you're starting, your identity's starting to change. He's got your attention. Talk about just kind of, you know, what happens next. I know, you know, from there, do you get married? Like, what are some of the key moments or decisions that start to happen in your life?
Yeah, you know, out of that, actions start to change, right? Out of those beliefs, actions start to change. And so I moved back to D.C. and, you know, I'm fired up, meeting up my old friends. I'm like, look, we can't go to the bar anymore. Like, this is what you can expect from me. And they're kind of like, all right, man, like, we'll just go to breakfast. Chill out. Like, so grateful for great friendships, but just setting new standards for myself. And in that process, you know, one of the craziest things that happened was how I met my wife. You know, in that new season and that 2.0 version of who I was becoming, had some friends convince me to try online dating on a Christian website. And I'm just like, man, I don't know about this. Am I trying to get catfished and kidnapped or whatever happens? So anyway, I get on there and I meet a young lady from Omaha, Nebraska. And the first question I foolishly asked her was, do you really live in Nebraska? Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm from the East Coast, right? Nebraska is, you know, might as well be Alaska to us. And I was like, maybe she's there on a missions trip. Like, maybe it's an internship. She can't really live there. And she's like, yes, I do. And so anyway, we keep talking. And that January, I'm praying that God would help me see where he wants me to live and who he wants me to marry. One of the most oldest prayers I've ever prayed in my life. And that's right around the time I met Rochelle. And that's around the time where, you know, I asked her, how do you feel about moving? Because I've moved all over. And she said, well, I'd follow my husband anywhere. And I was like, all right, well played. I'm coming to Omaha. And so those things started to happen. And also at the same time, this idea of who I was as an athlete starts to shift. Out of school, I'm out of that job previously with, you know, football. And I actually had a really bad day at work as God's doing all this in my life. I had a really bad day at work and I went to the gym and I turned on some garbage and I'm just pouring my day into the gym. And all the anger and frustration I had is pouring it into some sets and some reps. And God stops me in my tracks and he asks me, why are you asking the gym to be what I'm supposed to be for you? I'm supposed to be your refuge. I'm supposed to be your rock and your salvation. Why are you asking the gym to be that for you? And so in that moment also, he changed my perspective of what it means to take care of my body and be an athlete. As you know, that encompasses a lot of who you think you are as an athlete. You spend a lot of time training and perfecting your craft and your body, but God, he stopped the music literally that day.
Wow.
And right in that workout, I changed what I was listening to, and that workout became a time of like absolute worship and wow. changed my perspective on fitness completely. And so, yeah, all these little things that I thought were mine start being hijacked by God. When I come back, and here I am 6 years later in Omaha, Nebraska,
wow.
for a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, furthering a lot of this stuff.
Wow. I mean, shout out to online Christian online dating communities.
There's two Christians mingling.
All I know is anybody who's skeptical about Christian online dating, you have an example right here of an amazing couple that met through online dating. Other thing, man, I just want to clear up real quick, because my mom's from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I got a little East Coast in my family, but now my dad's from Iowa. But when we go visit our relatives on the East Coast, I mean, the things that they say, number one, do y'all live on a farm in the cornfields? And then number two, are there any Black people in Omaha?
Yep.
And I just want to say, man, you are living proof. And maybe you can help me clear this up. There are colored people in Omaha, and we don't all live on a farm.
And there's internet and running water. Like,
wow. Okay, man, I hear that all the time. So, I mean, long story short, God brings you to Omaha through your wife. You guys get married. You got a beautiful family now, amazing children. And you and your wife are like, number one, are Jen and I, some of our favorite people, and just such a beautiful couple that God is doing amazing things through. But you come here and you get a job. I think you worked for Huddle first, and yep. you're kind of in the tech space in terms of your day job, which I love, because God has used you in that environment, arena, in a variety of different ways. And then I remember a couple of years ago, through a church, I think it was a church gathering, maybe we're talking about vision, and you start to share just kind of your heart with fitness and faith, and maybe merging and marrying those two. Talk about that vision being birthed, because I think probably some of that happened in this experience you just described.
Yeah, honestly, you are a big part, whether you realize it or not. We was a men's breakfast, I think, and
yep.
someone asked you about your vision for the campus, and you shared it. And he said, I can't believe I just said that out loud. And it was like, but you backed it up with like, there's power behind putting those things out there.
Mm.
And I'm in the audience, kind of knew you at the time. And I'm just like sitting on this idea of what is now Faith Fit, and sitting on this idea is quietly growing under my bed. I'm not really telling anybody about it. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to start putting this out there, even though it's not all the way baked. And just God just starts affirming it. But different people, you know, Coach Ron Brown was a big part of that process too, with the Huskers. He was just like, I've been thinking about this for years. Right.
Wow.
And then a guy who I worked with at Huddle, he posted in a work channel about this idea of combining faith and fitness. And anyway, he's thinking about the same idea I'm thinking about. And so I'm just on fire telling people about what God has put on my heart.
Wow.
And he and I connect. His name's Luke Swan. He played, wide receiver at Wisconsin. And we just start connecting, and God has put an identical idea in both of our hearts. We just start building this idea of Faith Fit, and literally combining faith and fitness, where we transform the way you think about fitness by injecting God's word and truth into the workout as you do it, so that you can experience, you know, God's truth, yes, but the benefits of, you know, the physicality of working out with God's truth in mind, knowing that you are investing in your temple. And you talk about, you know, being a game changer. It's really hard to be a game changer if you're not fit to do game changer work.
Right.
And I'm not talking about looking like Arnold, right? But there's a level of fitness that is required to be of service, I believe.
Yep.
And so just, you know, those truths, and, you know, you know, I think about Galatians 5 asks us to walk and keep in step with the Spirit, right? That's in all we do.
Right.
And just finding, like, there's a lot of books on bringing your faith to work and faith to other arenas, but for some reason, fitness has gotten a pass.
Right.
And that's a lot of people's me time. Right. And I would argue that's inconsistent with the gospel.
Right.
Everything is his time. Mm. If we're walking with him. And so how do we change our perspective while we're under that bar in the gym, or while we're doing that class, or while we're doing any workout? Because that's his time too.
Right. So good. I mean, a few things that jump out to me that I'd love to hone in on. And number one is, I've said before, people say, Josh, man, like, you know, why do you work out? And for me, it's for the purpose of living out the calling that God has on my life. Like, I believe that being healthy, being able to keep up with my kids, my family, being able to do the work that he's called me to, like, fitness and being healthy is a part of that. And the process of becoming healthy and the process of becoming fit. Now, I think this is where sometimes I can struggle is, you know, I'm thinking physical, I'm thinking versus, man, allowing God to be in those moments while I'm working out. But I do think that the health and wellness, and again, I love what you said, I'm not talking about being an Olympic athlete. I'm not talking about being a professional football player. I'm not talking about being Arnold, but I am talking about, man, I think God has a calling on all of our lives. He wants us to use our influence to impact the world. And it requires that we have a level of energy, a level of fitness, a level of capacity to live out that calling. I mean, just talk about fitness on the side of, I think you said it, but I think when we think of church, when we think of following Jesus, sometimes fitness is one of those things that's like, I don't need to really pursue that. Like, that's not that big of a deal. I can be a Christian and not be fit.
Yeah. And you think about
which you can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just think that's where a lot of, like, if you think about not being conformed to the ways of the world, and the world again has hijacked all of our views, I believe, on fitness.
Yeah.
And it is about the abs, it's about the appearance, it's about the, you know, the surface level things, or it's about being number one. And not saying any of those things are bad, but if any of those things trump your identity as a believer,
right,
something might be out of whack. Mm. And so I think, you know, unfortunately, I think the church hasn't gotten into this enough. And you could argue this goes back to the church maybe not being missional enough. Mm. Because I think those two things are probably connected to some extent.
Yeah.
But God's word talks about us being prepared to do every good work. Or look at, you know, Second Timothy. And being prepared to do every good work, you know, we will put on our armor of God, and we know God's word, and we have God's motive and love in our hearts for our neighbor as well as him and ourselves. But there's a going. And if I look at the life of Jesus, even there's some physicality in his going.
Yep.
You know, and so just not divorcing those things as there's fitness over here and this other realm of doing, being in our faith. Like, again, if everything is the Lord's and to be used for his glory, I got to figure out a way how to use that for his glory. Just like I got to figure out a way how to use and leverage my family, my children, and our team as for his glory, and my workplace for his glory. Like, the list is comprehensive. And so, I think that's just the disconnect, unfortunately, and we're trying to kind of dispel that with fitness.
I love that. I think through a handful of, I use Fs when it comes to just kind of holistically looking at my life and others' lives, and you've got your faith, which for me is at the center, but then around that, I mean, you got your family, you've got fitness, you've got your finances, you got your friendships, you got your future and who God's calling you to be. Like, all of those things are a part of your walk and are a part of you being able to fully live out the calling that God has in your life. And I couldn't agree more. I think fitness really focuses and highlights the go or the missional aspect of our faith. And sometimes I think we miss out on that missional side because of some of the things that we're focusing on when it comes to the gospel and when it comes to, you know, living out our faith in the context of the local church.
Yeah. And you know, one thing with faith that we try to make it experiential, right? Like, it's not just about telling you these truths. Now go do some burpees. You know, what we try to do in every workout that's curated is we introduce that truth and then we hope to help you experience that truth, right? If we're talking about, you know, having the mind of Christ, and that is the scripture that we're using in that workout, while you're in a plank, we're asking you to focus on things above, right? And so there's this experiential aspect to faith that I believe if we can train our minds to think about Christ in the midst of hardship, you know, one of the early days of Faith Fit, we had this workout and I was doing a set of squats. It was a kind of an end of a workout. It was 20 squats. And we're just talking about the death and resurrection of Christ. And I'm in like number 12 and I'm listening to this scripture about him on the cross and all he endured.
Wow.
Got this weight on my back. And I've got tears coming down my eyes thinking about what he endured on my behalf while I'm doing some squats, right? Sure, my legs are getting stronger and all those other things are physically happening to me, but my mind is thinking about that. And you know, there's a crucible that happens in the gym. Right.
Right.
We're putting our bodies through something. And I would argue we don't often get tested. Right. In life, you know, we think about how we respond to trials, as James talks about. But there's really not a lot of quizzes before those trials that we get to learn from in life.
Right.
Life just happens to us.
Yeah.
And so I love to think about what Faith Fit does as a way for us to practice enduring life with God in mind so that when we leave the gym, we maybe have a muscle to rely on to hopefully have a stronger reflex to think about things above when we face hard things. And in my mind, there's no better way to do that than, you know, through some physical activity where your heart's pumping and you feel like you might want to quit. But you're being challenged to think about pressing forward because you know what it's producing. That's the whole principle, right? When we're working out, we know what it's producing. And so that's what God asked us to do when we're going through trials in life outside the gym, have that perspective of we know that this is producing and helping us become as we were talking about before.
Wow.
So it's just getting practice reps as well.
So good, bro. I mean, everything you just said right there, so good. And that was the word that came to my mind. This is practice. I mean, this is preparation for when life hits us, for going through those difficult seasons of life and recognizing that, man, when I push myself beyond my pain threshold, I grow, I expand, I become more of the person that God wants me to become. And fitness, I think, is one of the ways that we can do that in a very powerful, practical, and consistent way. So I love what you just shared, because that's what I wanted to focus on too, is like, I mean, what does this process look like? You shared a story before we started talking today. And I don't know if there's other stories that come to your mind, but give us a story or two of people who are using Faith Fit and just how it's impacting their life in you know, a pretty practical way.
Yeah, one of my favorites is she's a volleyball player in Florida, or former volleyball player. And she actually came to us and said, "Hey, I really appreciate what you guys are doing, because ironically, I stopped working out completely because I was tired of the world's perspective on fitness. And it was starting to like not sit well in my soul on, you know, me wanting to walk with Christ and like fitness being an idol and my body being an idol." And so she came to us and just like, "I appreciate what you guys have built, because it's helped me kind of redeem something the world has said is like, for these worldly reasons, and redeem it for Christ and have it be something I know now is fully a part of my walk with him." And that like brought tears to our eyes, just knowing that, you know, that is the perspective that we helped her uncover. And now fitness is a tool for her to go and grow closer. And then, you know, honestly, the other one is, so all of our workouts are, you know, over Roku or Amazon Fire or Apple TV. And so you watch the workout. And there's another, a mother who basically does the workouts with her kids. And, you know the world we live in of competitive elite athletics, club yeah. sports. That is, it's about getting to where you're trying to get and being recruited and all those things. But she's like, I have my kids in here doing this with me. Mm. And they're hearing God's word as they are sweating and working their tails off.
Wow.
And they're starting to equate effort with honoring God, not just achieving something right. earthly. Wow. And as a dad, man, like I was just blown away by that. 'Cause that's what I hope my children can come to understand about everything.
Right.
This is all God's. We're all doing for glorifying God.
Right.
You can be one as much as you want, but if your heart is not postured toward God, it doesn't matter. And so just hearing stories like that of people in their living rooms doing Faith Fit and families being impacted,
right.
Game changer for me.
Game changer. I mean, I think about that. Such a great way to get our kids at a young age to put things in the right perspective and to invite God. Man, I wish I would have learned to invite God into my workouts at an earlier age, because trying to do it now and overcome some of those mentalities and thought processes and just the standards that are out there from the world's perspective, it's so much harder. And so it's such a great tool. I mean, you talk about where people can get it. You said, you know, Roku and iTunes and, Where is the best place to find these Faith Fit workouts if somebody wanted to get connected and try them out?
Yeah, just visit faithfit.tv, and that's where all of our workouts live. And you can view those workouts on pretty much anything you can stream on. Or if you want to go through kind of a different experience, we actually have a reading plan on the Bible app. So just search Becoming Faith Fit in the Bible app, and you'll see a seven day reading plan from us that connects readings to actual, you know, executions of those readings or experiences of those readings in a yeah. workout. So those are two great places to get started.
So good. I've done the one on the Bible app a couple of times, and such a good entry point to get in. And then the faithfit.tv, great, just variety of different types of workouts, different messages that you'll hear. And I love that you guys kind of break it up into at least two different categories, where you have workouts that people can listen to that are actually workouts that you take people through.
Yep.
And then there's freestyle workouts where you can just listen to a message. You can do your own workout, listen to the message while you're working out, or you can actually go through a programmed workout that you guys actually put together with those messages. Powerful, man. So good. Hey, anybody who's listening, I just got to encourage you. You got to go check it out. Go to YouVersion Bible app, find the Faith Fit Bible app, go through that 7-day plan, and or go to faithfit.tv and just start it. Great to do individually with your family, as a community of people doing it together. One other thing, Anthony, I want to talk about, and we could talk forever, but I want to talk about just the journey of seeing Faith Fit get to where it is today. Because I remember when you started to vocalize that vision that God was putting in your heart, and you're working a 9-to-5, 8-to-5, you're working a job, you're going into the office. This is pre-COVID. Yeah. You're mostly working in person. You've got a family. I mean, when you started, I can't remember if Isaiah was born or if Isaiah had, you know, if it was pre-Isaiah.
Yeah.
But it's been a several year journey, at least to this point. You guys have it on several different platforms. It's a model that people can subscribe to. You're on the YouVersion Bible app. I mean, it's amazing, but you still have a full-time job and you're still working. Now you have two children, like your life is busy. So you've been building this thing with your partner, with Luke, on the side now for a couple of years, and you've gained some partners in the process. So I want to talk about that journey and process, because there are people who God is birthing something on the inside of them. I'm one of those in different ways. And it's sometimes you're not in a position where you're just able to do that full time, get paid for that. But there's a journey to really helping express that vision and passion God has given you, and also turn it into something. And so you get the vision, you start to vocalize it. What were some of the next steps in that process for you?
Man, honestly, I think the biggest thing, and this is a step that started and it's a step that still is happening, is deciding in prayer, what does success look like? Mm. Because if it was up to me, Faith of It probably still wouldn't have seen the day up until like 6 months ago because it was ready, right?
Right.
And starting early in prayer and conversation with very wise people like yourself around me and saying, okay, what is success? Mm. God put this on my heart, right? Well, success early on was telling people. That was my personal success. The next step of success was measuring, okay, is this something people will understand and be able to latch on to?
Yep.
And then you start building, you know, the concept of MVPs, minimum viable products. Like, what's if I envision building a car, let's start with a skateboard and be okay with building a skateboard. Mm. And so I think that's probably the biggest lesson, because I'm a, you know, Enneagram 3 strong, and I know you're a 1, so just achievement minded. And yeah. So if I'm not careful, that gets in the way of my obedience.
Yeah.
Because my timing is not God's timing. And so I think that's the biggest piece of advice for people, I think, looking to start something, is just start.
Yeah.
Because perfect is the enemy of good every single time.
Right.
And what Faith Fit looks like now is nothing like what it looked like before.
Right.
But you talk about becoming, right? We wouldn't be where we're at today with Faith Fit if we weren't willing to sign up for that journey of becoming.
Right.
And so, sure, we can talk about like the business metrics and all those other things and, you know, how to build product and how to listen to users and all this stuff that are in the business books. But at the end of the day, it's a hard thing about what is success.
Yep.
What is God telling you about success? And going from there with as much information as he gives you.
Yeah, it's good.
Because early on it was, I had this moment, we had somebody reach out off of our very not well put together duct tape version of Faith Fit. And it was like an 18-year-old kid was like, this has changed everything for me. I'm about to go into my senior season and has changed everything for me. And in that moment I was like, boom, that's success. Mm. That is success for where God has put us right now. And we're going to listen for what is the next set of instructions and aim for that level of success.
Wow.
I think that's just making sure my definition of success, your definition of success, is aligned with God's. Mm.
I love that. And kind of hear you saying like that purpose. What's the purpose of this organization, or what's the purpose of this thing, that this vision that God has given? And it's just cool too how it all connects with who God's called you to be and the purpose he's given you. You're not trying to do something outside of, man, the unique thumbprint that God has put on Anthony Edwards, the unique influence God has given you. I even think about the product today, the skill sets that God has given you, the influence that God has given you through the jobs you've done, just your ability to think about products and to test the market and MVPs. And I mean, you've done an amazing job at getting feedback and making sure that you're listening to those that you want to invest in and add value to, and not just creating a product that you like or that your partner likes, but really making sure it's something that adds value to the user and to the world. And so I think about your process, and it's deciding on the purpose, the bigger purpose. It's deciding on success and the measurements of success and making sure that it's aligned with God's heart. It's taking the next step, man. As an Enneagram 1, perfection is the enemy of progress. And it's like, man, it's not ready. No, God's saying, take the next step. What is the next step of success? The next step of success might be telling somebody about your vision. The next step of success might be putting together a slide deck. The next step of success might be starting to invite investors into the process. There's always a next step, and trying to figure out what that next step is as you pursue that passion and journey. What would you say, Anthony, to somebody who God's given them a vision, he's given them a dream, they're working, they've got a family, they're trying to figure out, man, what is that next step? Like, how would you coach them, encourage them to move forward in that vision?
Sit down with your wife.
Number one.
Talk to the CFO and see what can happen. I guess the biggest piece of advice I would give there is don't lose track of priorities, because, you know, Paul talks about being single versus being married, right? Mm. And I want to go fast and far. Mm. But if I go fast and far alone, I've done it all wrong. And so I think for me, it's just like, I'm all about the grind and working on what God has put on my heart. But man, if my family is not in a good spot,
that's good.
And has faith gone as far or as fast as I want it to go? Not at all. But is my family intact? Mm. And am I leading my household well? Like, I think the answer is yes. I think my wife would say yes. Mm. And that is also just as part of my purpose as FaithFit, if not even more. Right. And, you know, I think just understanding what is your first calling. Because first it's to walk with Him.
Right.
And then we look at the garden He's given us and say, okay, what am I responsible for? Mm. And, you know, it's like the family is everything. And so it's not the answer a lot of people want to hear, because a lot of people want to hear, you know, well, like, here's how you grind, and like, you got to want this more than you want sleep, you know, right. Like, and I think there's a place for that.
Right.
But man, where you'll land and the things that will cost you if you don't have your priorities together,
it's good.
It's not worth it. And so, yep. I don't speak to a lot of entrepreneurs because a lot of people don't want to hear that message.
yeah.
But that's what I think is, you know, God's kingdom design. Adam messed it up. Work's supposed to be hard.
Right.
And so I just, you know, first and foremost, it's a conversation of, does this fit into everything God has called me to do as a person in a family? And, yep. And then you got to figure out where are the gaps. I know, you know, I do a process every 6 months of outlining boxes in my life.
Yep.
I literally take every part of my life and write out a box and label that box with that part. And me and my wife pray over it. Mm. And she speaks into it. I ask God about it. And so it's a constant assessment of, here, God, like, is this how you want things to be ordered right now? Mm. I think as an entrepreneur or someone starting something, you have to always, strategy is decision-making. That's all it is.
Right.
And as believers, decision-making can't be done within your own self. So. Mm.
So good. So good. And I love your perspective, because for me, for us, this podcast, I mean, we're talking about God-given influence. And I think the truth is God's design, God's plan, He does things in His timing, not ours. And our job many times is just to try to stay aligned with Him. Now, a lot of times our own fears, our own, you know, identity gets in the way of what God wants to do. But first and foremost, we have to prioritize our lives in alignment with Him. And that's our relationship with Him. First and foremost, we call it the universal purpose. That's the relationships He's put around us, family, friends, community. That's the unified purpose. And then ultimately, there's a unique purpose. And we get to live out the uniqueness and who God has called each one of us to live out. And man, you, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you represent what this podcast is all about as much as anybody. And honored to call you a friend. Love learning from you, listening to you, always pulling new things out that inspire me to want to be better in a variety of different ways. So just, man, appreciate you taking the time. Love for people who are listening to know if they want to get connected to you, you know, what's the best way to get connected to you? What's the best way to get connected to, obviously, FaithFit, which you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, you can email me at anthony@faithfit.tv. it's probably a good way to email me or shoot me a message on Instagram and or LinkedIn, anywhere. All the ways you can reach a human, I'm sure you can track me down. So yeah, and also I just wanted to say before you wrap, I just like, and to people listening, like you've really encouraged me in understanding that there's not necessarily a JV and a varsity to this game changer thing.
Yes,
we are really bent towards thinking varsity is the speaker or the person who's in the seat. But the power of people who are not in that quote unquote seat, who are not gifted at public speaking, right? There's power in that as well, right? And just knowing that whatever God has given you can be used to change the spaces around you. And so I just, really helped me navigate that. And just because I often find myself being the coach behind the coaches. And, you know, and it's just like, there's a lot of purpose and a lot of power in that. So, yeah, I just appreciate you, brother, because this is such an important message, especially right now where everyone's looking at what can I do?
Right.
It's like, well, what's in your pockets? Like, let's use that. So, yeah, I just appreciate you.
So good. I mean, bro, I think of our wives. our wives are some of the most game-changing leaders, influencers the world has ever seen. I was telling somebody the other day about my wife. I'm like, the things she does on a consistent basis, not just for our family and raising four kids is, I mean, that's hard enough as it is and homeschooling them, but the number of people she's investing in on a consistent basis and leveraging what she has and working with others, like, I'm blown away.
Yes. And, you know, we're both married to nines, right? And so it's like, that is not on the front page.
No. And they don't want to be on the front page.
No. And their ability, though, to go an inch wide and a mile deep and impact lives. Like, amazing. Michelle, she's the same way. And it's, we'll be at a party and she's in a corner and her and another person are crying together.
Yep.
And I'm just like, wow. Yes. Right. And so totally. And, you know, from the outside looking in, that's not what you would call a game changer.
Right.
But man, are they changing the game? Totally, totally agree with you, man.
They are changing the game for so many people. And that's where my hope too is to keep highlighting people from a variety of different spaces and places. And because the truth is, God's given all of us influence. And he wants us to use that influence to impact the world wherever he has called us to. Well, Anthony, appreciate you. Love you. Thanks for taking your time. Definitely want to encourage people to check out faithfit.tv, Anthony at FaithFit. And man, make sure you get plugged in. Check it out. I guarantee it'll encourage you. It'll inspire you. It'll get you in shape, which we all need a little more of too. So man, thank you so much. And just appreciate all that you're doing.
Likewise, man. Love you, brother.
Man, 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 that was such a good episode with my man, Anthony Edwards. Some conversations go better than you could have planned. And that was one of those for me. Hey, I just want to encourage you, check out faithfit.tv. Check out Anthony. Make sure you get plugged in. It is inspiring to see what they're doing. And like Anthony said, let's pursue the who. Let's pursue who God has called us to be, our identity in Christ, and allow that to lead to the impact that we're having in the world, the what we're trying to accomplish and what God is doing through our lives. Who before what? And man, the results, the fruit of becoming before doing always leads to long-term real impact. So I want to encourage you, man, use what God has given you. I want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, and it'll let you know when new episodes are coming out. Also, feel free to share it with others that you think need to be encouraged and inspired. Man, I love seeing the Anthony Edwards of the world. I love seeing people just discover and decide to pursue the influence and passions God's put inside of them, because it truly does impact the world around us. We say it all the time, you don't have to do everything, but God has gifted you and called you to do something. find out what it is, find out where your influence is, and use your influence to impact the world around you. Love you guys. Continue to lean in. And I can't wait for the next conversation that we have. Let's go.